Good morning, Replicate. How's everyone doing this morning? If you haven't yet, would you find your seat? And I want to read this verse to you that I came across this week, and it really spoke to me. And it says, but John 4:23, it says, but for the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. How awesome is that, that we're called to worship the creator of the universe in that way.
Amen. You may be seated. Good morning and welcome to Replicate Church. My name is Kenna. I am so excited to be worshiping with you all this morning. If you're a first-time guest, we really hope you felt the love and felt welcome here today. And we would love it if you would fill out the Connect card. It's in your bulletin and it just gives us a little bit of information about you and how we can serve your family. You can give that to Pastor Jared at the end of the service, or you can put it in the giving box that's at the back there. That'd be really awesome. If you're not a first-time guest, you can use that Connect card as well to turn in prayer requests or to let us know about a decision you might be making today, whether that's to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the first time or to get baptized or to get involved in a small group. Use that Connect card and let us know what God's doing in your life. That giving station is there for our regular attenders and members to give their regular tithes and offerings. We do that so that we can partner with God and glorify him here in East Milton and around the world. And this month we have a special opportunity to do more of that around the world through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So in your seat, you have a pamphlet and you have an envelope. So that envelope, you can turn that in next Sunday, give your giving there, and then the pamphlet is for you to pray throughout the week. So we not only want to give, but we want to pray. The International Mission Board supports missionaries all over the world in some of the hardest places to be a missionary, places where it's illegal to share the gospel, the places where it's illegal to be a Christian, places where people don't even know a single Christian. So this is an amazing opportunity for us to have a little part in what God is doing all over the world. Check out that prayer guide. You can pray with your kids this week and help explain to them what missionaries are and what they do, and then pray about how to give. Like I said, you can put your check or your cash in the envelope and turn it in next week, or there's a QR code on the back of your pamphlet and you can go directly online to the International Mission Board and give there. But we're going to be taking that up this month, so please pray about that this week. Our church was a part of that last year, so the salvations that were seen and the churches that were planted through the International Mission Board, we had a small part in that. And 100% of your giving through this offering goes directly to the field, not to overhead, not to other things. 100% goes directly to the mission field. So thank you guys. Let's pray. And we're going to get back into worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for the opportunity to partner with you and what you're doing all over the world, Lord. You don't need us, but you choose to use us instead, which is such a blessing and an honor. And I pray that you will keep that on our minds this week, God, that you will prompt us to pray, prompt us to give, to be generous givers, to be joyful givers, Lord. And I pray that as we go back into worship today, God, that you'll remove distraction, Lord, that we will honor you with our song, Lord, no matter how we're feeling today, God, that we'll choose to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God's word is worth waiting for. Okay, let's see. We've got a lot of things right there. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Terry. You guys can be seated. As we enter our time of just intentional prayer this morning, we're going to be back in Psalm 34 this morning, verses 8 through 10 again. Just feel like that's where we need to be at this morning. This is what the psalmist writes in verse 34, 8 through 10. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." So as we enter into a time of the prayer, let this the words of the psalmist just resonate in your soul this morning. This is a time for you to seek the face of the Father as we go to him in his word this morning. And so I'm going to lead us, but you just pray as the Spirit leads you this morning. Heavenly Father, for those of us in this room that have accepted your Son as Lord and Savior, we have tasted and we have seen that you are good. God, and we praise you for your goodness this morning. We praise you for the free gift of salvation. We praise you that though we were not worthy, you still desired to save us. God, that we bring nothing to the table, but yet you love us steadfastly. Even when we do not love you back, you love us all the same. God, we praise you this morning, and we're thankful, and we give gratitude for your grace and your mercy, your patience and your gentleness towards us. And as we come before your throne this morning, Lord, we just choose to trust you, to trust in your goodness, to trust in your power, to trust in your grace and your faithfulness. We surrender our lives to you this morning. We give you control. God, we ask that you would help us to have understanding of your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate the text, Lord, that we would see the truth, not what we think the truth is, not what our opinions are, but we would see what your truth is and how we are to live that out on a daily basis. And Lord, we pray for those in the room that do not yet have a relationship with your Son Jesus, that today they would move one step closer. Today would be the day of salvation for those people in the room, that they would know the hope and the joy and the peace that come through following your Son Jesus. And so we ask that you keep us from distraction this morning in a room that's full of distractions, Lord. That you protect us from the attacks of the enemy. We may focus on you. We may experience you in a real and tangible way this morning. Again, we don't desire that people would leave here today and say the music was awesome, the kids was awesome, the coffee was great, the preaching was great. We want them to leave here saying we experienced the presence of God in that place today. And so God, I pray that our hearts would be open for that today, that your Holy Spirit would move in here like only he can do. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Kids, you guys can head back to your area, and as they make their way, good morning and welcome again, the faithful Thanksgiving remnant, those who have survived the turkey and the travel and all, you know, some of you I've heard had multiple Thanksgivings this week, so it's a miracle that you're even walking around. So we're glad you came to worship with us this morning and here at Replicate. If you're a guest, man, we're excited that you picked this weekend. I'm always amazed at the faithfulness of God when a guest walks into this building, because you had to really want to be here. All right, to get past the prison and all the crazy roads, to come into this pole barn and all the stuff that's out here, the Lord wanted you here this morning. All right, there was a lot of things that would have caused some people to turn around. They're like, "No, that's too sketchy. I'm not going there. We're going to go somewhere else." And so the Lord has you here for a reason this morning, and I'm always amazed by that and his faithfulness. But before we get into our text this morning, a couple of quick announcements. This Tuesday, December 3rd, we're going to have our next night of prayer and worship. It's going to be in this building at 6 o'clock. Matt's going to lead us in worship. We're going to have communion. We're just going to pray. This is going to be our third one, and you know, it only took two to outgrow our other space, so we're going to bring it here. Again, families are welcome. Kids are welcome. Man, we're just going and seeking the face of the Lord. We're seeking His power and His presence, so we encourage you to be here if you can Tuesday night. And the other thing is this, and we'll talk more about it at the end of our gathering this morning, but on December 21st, that's a Saturday, from 5 to 8 p.m. in this building, we're partnering with a couple other agencies, and we're going to do an East Milton Community Christmas event in this building, all right? And so we're going to need some people. We're going to be giving away free cookies and hot chocolate and hay rides and all kind of different things. And so Miss Catherine and Miss Jenny have a ton of sign-up sheets right back there. Y'all all turn around, look right back there. There's a piece of paper waving and two plants on that table. That's where they're at, all right? We need people to bake cookies and cook hot chocolate. Man, I don't think you cook hot chocolate, right? You just put the hot water or whatever. We need people to man that table. We're doing a live nativity, so if you're like, want to test out your acting skills, or just be, you know, which is just standing there with like a staff or holding a baby or something, man, sign up for that, all right? The other agencies are looking to develop some community traditions in East Milton. And so they asked us to partner with them in that. And they said, hey, we don't care. Y'all can talk about Jesus. Y'all can share the gospel. We just want y'all's help in pulling this off. And so we said, yes, we're going to do that. I know if it was up to us, we would have liked to start planning this back in October. We didn't have that luxury, but God has laid this out before us because we've been praying that He would give us an opportunity to reach our city, and He's done that. And so I'm asking you if you're able to sign up and be there and serve us as we reach our city. Amen? Amen. All right, you're awake. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. If you're a guest with us this morning, we've just been going verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark most of this year. And so we're probably going to carry that over into the first part of next year. But this morning, we're finishing off chapter 10. And so if you weren't here with us last week, if you're a guest with us, or you've just been out of pocket for a little bit, where we are in the text is Jesus and His disciples have left the region of Perea, which is where they were last week. And Jesus and the disciples, they are on a journey to Jerusalem, where He is ultimately going to be crucified, right? And so last week, we saw where Jesus reminded the 12, hey, we're going to Jerusalem, and that's where I'm going to die. And He tells them for the third time, this is the third time He's told them, but this time He gives them a little more detail. He says, we're going to go to Jerusalem. Somebody I love is going to betray me. They're going to hand me over to the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders in Jerusalem. They're going to do this kind of make-believe trial. They're going to convict me. They're going to hand me over to the Romans. They're going to spit on me. They're going to mock me. They're going to beat me, and they're going to kill me. But then I'm going to rise again in 3 days. But as we read that text last week, the disciples really did not have a full understanding of that yet. And we know that because right after that, we see James and John come to Jesus and ask to be placed on His right hand and on His left in the two positions of honor in His glory. And so we saw how Jesus dealt with that last week. And so we're coming off of that, and this morning they're still journeying to Jerusalem. This time they're going through the city of Jericho. And so that's where our text picks up this morning. You got Jesus and the 12 still on the road to Jerusalem. They're in Jericho, and they encounter a man by the name of Bartimaeus. And so we look at verse 46. Jesus and the crew, they're in Jericho, and now they're now leaving Jericho. You had these Roman road systems during that time, and so there had been a main kind of roadway that would have passed through Jericho into Jerusalem. When we say Jericho, we're talking about the Jericho of the Old Testament. You know, the walls came tumbling down that Jericho. And so they're traveling through Jericho, and about this point, they're about 15 to 20 miles outside of Jerusalem. So they're getting close. And they're going through Jericho, and they encounter a man named Bartimaeus. But the other thing that we should note there is Mark writes that it wasn't just Jesus and the disciples. He said there was a great crowd. There was a multitude of people with Jesus. See, it was about to be Passover in Jerusalem. So many of the Jews were making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for Passover. So this road would have been filled with other people making the journey. But what we can glean from Mark's text here is that of those pilgrims that were making that journey, many had decided to hang out with Jesus and the disciples. They made themselves a part of this group. They probably learned, hey, this is that Jesus we've heard so much about. We're going to stick with Him because He's probably going to do something amazing, right? And so Jesus has this whole crowd of people. They're walking through this road, on this road through Jerusalem, and then they encounter Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus, we were told, is a blind beggar whose name literally means son of Timaeus, who we can assume was his father. Now, it makes perfect sense that Bartimaeus was sitting on this roadside because for somebody that was born blind, the only profession they could have was to beg for money, to ask for alms. And so to be on this major thoroughfare to Jerusalem would have been a great opportunity to make money. Now, it was very likely he wasn't the only one sitting on this street either. And we know that from Matthew's gospel because Matthew says that there were two blind men that Jesus and the crew passed as they were heading to Jerusalem. But for some reason, Mark really just hones in on Bartimaeus. We're not told why. We're not told why he doesn't focus on both the blind men like Matthew does. Mark's also the only one that names Bartimaeus by name. And if you think about all the miracles in the Gospels, very few people are named by name. You don't get them, you're not told the names of many of the people that Jesus performed miracles for. And so what that implies is that Bartimaeus more than likely had some kind of significant role in establishing the church and the ministry of the disciples after Jesus ascended into heaven, that he must have played a role. He must have been of some importance for Mark to mention him by name. So you have Bartimaeus, you got Jesus and the 12, and their paths are about to intersect here on this road outside of Jericho. Verse 47. It says, and when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out, to shout. Some translations say he began to shriek at Jesus. Now, I want to stop there just for a moment. So Bartimaeus likely, he can't see, but he heard all the commotion. He heard all the footsteps walking along the road. He heard the swishing of garments. He heard, the conversations and the braying of the donkeys. And he's like, hey, this sounds like a little more traffic than normal. He probably started asking around, hey, what's going on? Is there a party in town? Is there a convention in town? What's going on? I hear a lot of people, more people than normal. And somebody said to him, it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Jesus was a fairly common name in that day, so they had to be specific. It is Jesus the Nazarite, Jesus from Nazareth. And in that instant, he knew exactly who they were talking about when he said Jesus of Nazareth. And when he found out it was Jesus, he begins to cry out and shout. Bartimaeus is passionately and desperately trying to get the attention of Jesus as he walks by. And he shouts to Jesus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it's the first time in Mark's gospel someone has called Jesus the son of David. Now, he called him the son of David because of reference to the Old Testament text that promised that the Messiah of the Jewish people would come from the lineage of David. We see that in verses like Jeremiah 23:5, where it says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And so he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now this phrase is an expression of Bartimaeus' faith in Jesus. See, when he says son of David, he shows that he's recognizing that Jesus is that promised Messiah by calling him son of David. And by requesting him to show mercy on him, he's recognizing Jesus' power and authority. So in professing Jesus as Messiah and acknowledging his power and authority, Bartimaeus is in turn expressing his faith in Jesus. In the same way we profess Jesus, when we profess Jesus as Messiah and acknowledge his power and authority, we are expressing our faith in him, and that's our saving faith. That's what Scripture says is required of us to be saved. If we profess with our mouth that he is king, that he is Messiah, that he is Savior, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead and he had the power and authority over sin and death, that is a saving faith. And so Bartimaeus is expressing a saving faith here. He's like, he's the Messiah, and I'm acknowledging his power. See, Bartimaeus knew what Scripture said about the Messiah, and he obviously had heard of the power of Jesus, and so he put two and two together. He did some simple math, and he came to this conclusion that Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament that God had given to the people of Israel. Now, it's unlikely that Bartimaeus knew everything, but he knew enough to place his faith in Jesus. He knew enough to believe that this Jesus was the promised Son of God, this was the Messiah, and that he was important, and he needed to place his faith in him. See, too often we want to have it all figured out before we come to faith in Jesus. But the truth is, until we step into eternity, we're not going to have everything figured out, but we've been given enough information about Jesus to come to the conclusion that he is who he says he is, that he is the Son of God, that he did die on the cross, that he did defeat sin and death on that cross, and if we place our faith in him, we will gain eternal life and the forgiveness of sin. We don't have to have it all figured out. But Bartimaeus, like us, he knew enough to have that saving faith. Verse 48, as Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, it says many, not just a couple, not just one or two, many rebuked or scolded him, telling him to be silent and to quit crying out to Jesus. Can you imagine telling somebody to quit crying out to Jesus? Like if you're just in this room and somebody's up here like just weeping and crying out to Jesus, say, hey, can you be quiet? You're disturbing the room, please. Like that's what I imagine. I mean, I don't think everybody in this crowd had that kind of understanding of who Jesus was, but I'm just like, I couldn't imagine telling somebody to be quiet as they're crying out to Jesus. And we're not told why, but it could be that they thought this blind beggar was just too insignificant for Jesus to bother with. He had bigger things to be concerned with. It could have been that they were a little nervous that he was calling Jesus the Son of David because they knew the political weight that that carried and the potential negative repercussions that that could have. Right? As the Son of David, that meant Jesus would be the rightful earthly king of Israel, which meant he would challenge that person that was already enthroned in Israel. And so that would maybe mean negative repercussions not only for Jesus, but those who followed him. So like, hey, be quiet. We don't need you stirring that pot. And though it was true that Jesus was that rightful heir, his kingdom was going to be far greater than an earthly kingdom. And that's what the disciples and those who were following him had failed to see at this point. But the crowd was telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, but he was not deterred. He was not going to be stopped from getting Jesus' attention. He was not giving up, but he was pressing in. He didn't care what the crowd told him. He didn't care that they were telling him to be quiet. All he knew was that he needed to get Jesus' attention. He needed Jesus to hear him. He needed Jesus to see him, to see his situation. He needed Jesus, and nothing was going to stop him from getting Jesus' attention, no matter how many people told him to be quiet. And so his shouts and his cries to Jesus grew louder and louder and louder as he desperately is trying to get Jesus' attention. Verse 49. And in the midst of the crowd, telling Bartimaeus, hey, be silent, he cries to the Savior. His cries to the Savior remain persistent. And then Mark writes, Jesus stopped. He was leading the crowd. He stopped. He turns around. He says to the crowd, call him to me. And it says that some in the crowd went to Bartimaeus and told him, take heart, which means to have courage, to be glad, get up. Jesus is calling you, Bartimaeus. Get excited. Jesus is calling you, Bartimaeus. He has not passed you by. He has heard your cries. Now get up and come to him. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, if we seek the Lord with all our heart, we seek him sincerely, that we will find him. God isn't hiding. He's just waiting for us to seek him. Revelation 3:20 says Jesus is sitting there knocking on the door of our hearts, waiting for us to open the door and let him in. He's not hiding from us. He desires to be in relationship with every single one of us. But he doesn't force himself on anybody. See, for the unbeliever, there are a lot of voices in the world telling you which way you should go, what you should do, how you should live. What you need, what you don't need, what's true, what's not true, even trying to define to you what truth is and what truth isn't. And in the midst of all the noise of the world, we have this promise that holds true for every individual in this room. That if you sincerely seek after God with all your heart, if you run after him, you are always, always, always going to find him. There is never a scenario where you sincerely run after the Lord and you do not find him. That promise is for every individual in this room. It's patiently waiting for you to sincerely seek after him. We see that with Bartimaeus. We see him sincerely seek after the Lord, and Jesus responds and calls him to himself. So you understand that Jesus is the only way to the Father. We see that in Scripture. It says that no man comes to the Father any other way but through Jesus. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God except through Jesus. But to enter into that kingdom, we have to first let him in. That means we have to seek after him. We have to run after him. We have to run towards him. We have to call on him, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I am a sinner in need of your grace. Lord, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus was seeking out Jesus in this crowd, crying out to him, sincerely seeking him, and he found him. And Jesus, the Son of God, responded. Not only did he find Jesus, but Jesus acknowledges him. He says, and he called him to himself. And so for the believers in the room, here's what I want us to lean into this morning. I want us to think about our walk with Christ, specifically our prayer life. If we take Bartimaeus here, because Bartimaeus in crying out to Jesus, he's praying to Jesus. Jesus is just there in the flesh. We're not praying to Jesus in the flesh, but he is praying to Jesus. He's crying out to Jesus. How many times do we seek the Lord in that kind of desperation? How many times, as followers of Christ, are we just crying out to Jesus, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need you in my life, Lord. How many times are our prayers desperate and faith-filled? How many times are we persistent in that prayer? How many times are we shouting to Jesus, Jesus, see me. Jesus, hear me. Jesus, I acknowledge who you are. Jesus, I need you to intervene right now. Bartimaeus went to Jesus with these faith-filled, desperate prayers, and he was persistent, and his persistence paid off. He wasn't going to let anything stop him from getting and having Jesus hear him. The Lord heard and he answered. And that's the space we must live in as followers of Christ. We must desperately seek the power and the presence of Jesus day by day, minute by minute, second by second. If you've truly been transformed by Christ and you are pursuing him, the more you pursue him, the more you're going to recognize, I need him. Not just once a week, not just twice a week, not just a couple times a year. I need him day by day, second by second, minute by minute. I cannot live without him. That's the space we need to be at in our prayer life, in reading God's word, in serving his kingdom as Jesus. I cannot take a step or a breath without you. We can't just go through the motions of prayer. We got to pray like everything depends on him, because it does. Regardless of what the other voices around us are saying, regardless of our situation, regardless of if we're in a season of blessing or a season of suffering, our prayer life should never change. We should be as desperate for Jesus in the suffering as we are in the blessing, right? Now, I probably flip that. Desperate in the suffering as we are in the blessing. We like to run after Jesus in the suffering, but when we're in that season of blessing, we're not as desperate for him, forgetting that he's the same God in both. We must desperately seek the power and the presence of Jesus day in and day out. Here's what happens when we start praying like that. Our heart gets happy when we desperately seek the Lord with our prayers. Who doesn't want a happy heart? Some of you guys maybe like being grumpy, maybe. But that's not what Jesus wants. There's a lot of scripture that says, hey, don't grumble, don't do any of that stuff, right? And so God's desire is for us to have a happy heart, a heart that's content in him, a heart that is joy-filled. And so when we start having this desperate, faith-filled prayer life, we're moving from a dependence on self to a dependence on him. And so we're removing weights and burdens off our shoulders that we were never meant to carry. We're casting our anxieties on him that he desires to carry for us. And then we begin to experience the rest that Jesus talks about. He says, follow me. Like, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Have rest in me. We don't experience that because most of us are carrying stuff we weren't supposed to carry. But as we start to seek him in this desperate, faith-filled prayer, we start unloading that stuff. And we start experiencing that rest and that easy yoke. And we start to follow him deeper. And then suddenly we're experiencing that peace and joy that Scripture talks about, making our heart happy. Listen, if following Jesus is a burden, you're not doing it right. Jesus says, following me is easy. You will find rest in following me. There will be peace and joy in following me, even in suffering. So here's what I want to challenge you this week, to get in some desperate, faith-filled prayer this week. And I challenge you, if you get in some really, like some Bartimaeus, like I am desperate for the Lord type prayer, I'm face down before the Father, I'm giving him everything, I'm pouring out my soul to him, and your heart doesn't get happy, come talk to me. All right, I'm going to challenge you with that, all right? Because you, and you better come prepared if you say that didn't happen for you, because I'm going to have a lot of questions. But I challenge you this week to pursue the Lord in that manner and see if your heart doesn't get happy in the Lord. See if you don't experience the peace and the joy of the Lord like maybe you've never experienced before. Verse 50, it says, throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up. He didn't delay in responding to the Lord's calling, but he came running after Jesus. Jesus called and Bartimaeus came to him. He did not delay. Now, the first time I read that, I was like, why did he throw off his cloak? Because I've never worn a cloak. The closest thing I have to a cloak in my house is maybe like this weighted blanket right here, which for some reason weighs about 50 pounds. I don't know why you'd want to sleep with this. But in Bartimaeus' day, especially being a blind beggar, I'm not going to put this around my shoulders because that I don't know if I could get it back off. They would wear it around their shoulders and it would protect them from the rain and the cold. Probably had a hood and it probably was long and it would stretch down to their feet. And again, Bartimaeus is blind. And so he threw off the cloak because it was the one thing that would have tripped him up into coming to Jesus. As he sprung up instantly and went to run to Jesus, he could have easily got his feet tangled in this cloak, fallen down, and been delayed in coming to Jesus. He didn't want that to happen, so he throws off his cloak. And I'm guessing people are guiding him, or he hears Jesus' voice. I mean, I doubt he just ran in a dead sprint to Jesus without a little bit of help. But he knew if he didn't take that off, he was not going to, there's a chance he was going to end up flat on his face. So he throws his cloak off, throws off what may hinder him of getting to Jesus, and he goes to the sound of his voice. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. How many of us have heard Jesus calling our name, maybe into salvation or to go and do something, and we've delayed? We've said, not now. Maybe you're in this room today and you're not a follower of Christ, but you felt the Lord pulling on you, saying, this is the decision you need to make. Understand this, that God does not promise anywhere in Scripture that we will get multiple opportunities to receive his gift of salvation. In his grace, he often does allow us multiple opportunities because we are a stubborn people. But it's not guaranteed. And so maybe Bartimaeus knew this. He's like, this is my shot. If I don't take it now, I may never get another one. So he's running to Jesus. He's not taking anything, leaving anything to chance. He's not wasting any time. He's getting to Jesus. Verse 51. Bartimaeus makes it to Jesus. And I can just imagine the look on his face as he's finally there and he can probably touch and he can hear Jesus, he hears his voice, just the smile and the expression on his face as he listens to the Savior's voice when he says, what do you want me to do for you? Not a voice of ridicule, not one telling him to be silent, but what do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? Notice Jesus responds to Bartimaeus with the same gentleness and patience. And even the same question that he did with James and John in our text last week when they made that request to sit at his right hand and his left. Bartimaeus responds to Jesus, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Now, Jesus already knew what he needed. He already knew what he was going to ask. Just like he knows what we're going to pray and ask before we ask it. But he still wants us to ask it. I don't understand the why. I just know that's what he wants from us. But he already knew what Bartimaeus was going to ask. And notice that Bartimaeus was not ashamed to bring it before Jesus. You know, we could get in this weird space as Christians where we know the needs we have, but like we don't want to take them to Jesus, even though he already knows them. Like Bartimaeus didn't try to church it up. He didn't try to like beat around the bush or anything. He says, Jesus, this is what I need. Will you help me? Will you restore my sight? And in restoring his sight, he was gaining much more than just his vision. He was gaining a whole new life. He didn't have to live a life as a beggar anymore. He didn't have to live as an outcast in his world anymore. Just think about maybe what your prayer life would look like if you just went to the Lord with what you actually needed instead of trying to church it up and beat around the bush with Jesus. I don't know why we do that. I don't know if it's shame, if it's guilt, if we feel like we're a burden to God, but we'll do that. I've heard people pray knowing the things they have going on in their life, and they'll just be like, oh God, I got this little thing going on. If you could help me, if you got time, would you help me with this? Instead of just pouring out their souls to the Father, which is what he wants. He wants us to pour out our souls to him. He wants us to bring everything to them. He wants us to give him our anxieties and everything we're dealing with, but yet we're just like, oh Lord, maybe if you got time. And we never really get to that place of like real desperate prayer. He already knows. He wants you to bring it to him. He wants you to lay those needs at his feet. Don't be afraid to pour out your heart to the Father. Don't be afraid to pray bold prayers. Don't be afraid to pray prayers that only God can answer. Bartimaeus was coming to Jesus with a request that only God could grant. And so as we consider that and we look at this exchange between Bartimaeus and Jesus, we see that Bartimaeus is expressing his faith in Jesus in both his persistence and his prayer. See, Bartimaeus persistently was calling out to Jesus. Those prayers of desperation as he was walking by, and Jesus answered. He didn't let anything distract him or hinder his prayers to Jesus. He was persistent. And in that persistence, Bartimaeus is showing his faith in the power of Jesus. He's like, I'm going to keep coming to him, and I'm going to keep coming to him, I'm going to keep coming to him until he answers me, because I know he's the only one who has the power to do what I need done. And then we see his faith expressed in the boldness of his prayers. Again, he didn't pray something that anybody could do for him. He prayed for something that only God could do for him. And notice he doesn't say, Jesus, if you can. He says, will you? Will you, Jesus? Will you do this thing for me if it is your will? As believers, faith can be expressed by how persistently we run after Jesus and by the boldness of our prayers. As believers, faith can be expressed by how persistently we run after Jesus and by the boldness of our prayers. When our faith is weak, we run after Jesus less and the world more. If our faith is weak in the Lord, we're going to get to this place where we don't think we need him that much. And so we're going to chase after everything in the world, every shiny new thing, everything that the world says is going to be fulfilling instead of the Lord. But if we live in this space where our faith is growing in the Lord and we have a growing trust in him, we're going to run after him more than we do the world, because you're like, this is better than what the world has to offer. This is eternal. This is not. This has got power. This does not. So a sign that our faith is growing is how much are we running after Jesus? Do we run after Jesus more than we do anything else? It's an expression of our faith in Jesus. And then a strong faith leads to bold prayers. The more our faith in Christ grows, the more we trust in his power, and the more we begin to pray like Bartimaeus. If you ever wonder why maybe God's not showing up in some like amazing ways in your life, when was the last time you prayed a bold prayer? Remember last week we talked about it, as Christians, we should live in this space where there's a gap between our ability and what God can do. Which means we're praying prayers that can only be answered outside of our power. Those are bold prayers. Right? A bold prayer would be, God, we want to see every single person in East Milton come to faith in Christ. That's something that only God can do. And he welcomes those kind of prayers, but we only pray those kind of prayers when we have faith that God can answer those kind of prayers. And we increase our faith by trusting him. At some point, you got to step out of the boat and say, I'm going to trust you. And the more you step out of the boat with God and say, I trust you, the more that faith grows. The more you're engaged in his word and you read his promises and you trust in his promises, the more that faith grows. If you never open his word and you don't know his promises, your faith is probably never going to grow. But at some point, you got to say, I got this promise of God. I got this promise that says, if I sincerely seek him, I will always find him. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to step towards that. And then as you find out his promises are true, your faith is strengthened. And then you're more persistent in running after him, and you're more bold in your prayers. Our last verse this morning, verse 52. Jesus responds to Bartimaeus' request. Go on your way. Your faith has made you well. And instantly he was healed, and Mark says that he followed Jesus after that. Now that word follow doesn't mean that he just was following Jesus for the fun of it. It's the same word they use as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus. So not only was Bartimaeus healed of his blindness, but he was healed of his spiritual blindness as well. Jesus gave him his physical healing, but he also gave him a spiritual healing. And so we know that Bartimaeus professed faith in Jesus, and in that moment decided that he was going to follow Jesus into the suffering that laid ahead of him in Jerusalem. And so in that text, here's what I want us to notice. Notice the difference between how Jesus responds to Bartimaeus versus last week to James and John. Last week, James and John came to Jesus with a selfish request, motivated by pride and greed to want to sit in those places of honor in Jesus' kingdom. Bartimaeus comes to Jesus humble and of genuine faith, saying, I know you can, but if you will you do this for me? Remember, James and John came to Jesus and said, hey, we want you to say yes before we ask you this question. Bartimaeus is like, I know you can. If you will, could you do this for me? And so it serves as a reminder of us in this room that as we go to the Lord in prayer, we have to have this posture of humbleness and to seek the will of the Father, because as we saw last week, God will not answer prayers that go against his will. And when we pray, we got to have a posture of humbleness, because to pray in general is a humble act, because we're saying, God, I can't, but you can. So to go to the Lord in prayer, we should have a posture of humbleness and seek the will of the Father and not our own. But notice what else Jesus does here. He models the servanthood that he talked to James and John about last week. He talked about how, hey, these places of honor are not relevant in my kingdom. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you're going to be a servant to people. You're going to be a servant, a slave to all. And in this moment, Jesus models what servanthood looks like. You know, to most of the people in that crowd, this man wasn't worth the time. Jesus had more important things to do. There was a mission at hand. He was headed to Jerusalem to face his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus could have chosen not to bother with this man, but he didn't. He stopped and he served him, gave this man not just his sight, but he also received salvation. But as we kind of wind the text down, there's some application points I want us to see this morning. And I want us to first recognize that we are all being called to Jesus, and we all have a calling in Jesus. We are all being called to Jesus, and we all have a calling in Jesus. Remember, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. He wants you to come in. He's drawing you in. At some point, he's going to be drawing you in, and you have the choice on whether you're going to choose to answer that door or not. Jesus calls every person into a relationship with him. It's up to you whether you heed that call or not. And once you heed that call, he has a mission for you. He has work for you to do. See, like Bartimaeus, many of us in this room have thrown off our cloaks to receive that as Jesus called us into salvation. But now that we've entered into a relationship with Jesus, we've put on some new cloaks. We've put on some new things that are keeping us from being effective in the mission. Like we threw off the first one, the things that first hindered us from coming to Jesus, but now we've put on some new ones that are keeping us from pursuing the call that he has on your life, the mission that he's placed on his life, the thing that he's gifted you and created you for. We're not going towards it because we got these other cloaks on that are keep tripping us up every time we try to run after it. We got these cloaks on our back that are hindering our faith. They're stopping our pursuit. They're limiting our prayers. For me, it's often pride and fear that I have to remember to throw off. Maybe for you, it's a combination of both pride and fear. Maybe it's a sin that you've attached yourself to. Maybe it's an ideology, a relationship. Maybe a hurt you haven't healed from. Maybe it's unforgiveness or bitterness or unbelief. But understand, we are not meant to run after Jesus and stop. We are meant to run after Jesus for the rest of our lives. Bartimaeus went to Jesus, and then he followed Jesus. He didn't go to Jesus and go the other way. He went to Jesus and he kept following Jesus, kept going after Jesus. That's what we're called to do. But if we don't take off the things that are tripping us up, we're going to stumble in our path to Jesus and we're going to quit being persistently running after him. And the more we don't throw these off, the more our prayers are going to be limited. Bartimaeus didn't let anything stop him from coming to Jesus, and he didn't let anything hinder him from following Jesus. The question this morning is, will you do the same? As Matt comes and leads us in worship, I just want us to consider that this morning as followers of Christ. Man, some of you, maybe you're doing a great job, man. You are rolling. You pray for the rest of us. Like, I know for me, there's things that I know God wants to do in my life, but I keep getting tripped up by things that I struggle with. Things that I know I need to shake off that are just hard. I need to be going to the Lord in prayer, and I would challenge you to do the same. Lord, help me to take these cloaks off my back so I quit getting tripped up as I run to you. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're getting tripped up by worldview, a family member, fear, or doubt. And I just ask you this morning, what's hindering you this morning from throwing off that cloak and running straight towards Jesus this morning? To run towards a God that loves you, that cares for you, that desires a relationship with you. Because I can guarantee you this, that whatever thing you got to take off to run to Jesus, what you're gaining is far greater than what you're giving up. There ain't nothing you got to throw off that you're going to regret throwing off once you come to Jesus. Maybe you recognize this morning, maybe your faith's a little weaker than you thought it was. Maybe you're not running after Jesus as persistently as you thought you were. Maybe you've been going through the motions of your prayers and you're like, man, I need to start praying some bold prayers. Wherever God is leading you this morning, I encourage you to respond and take those next steps. You can come and kneel and pray. You can come and talk to me. You can talk to my wife. You can just stand and worship. If you need prayer, you can come to us. If you want to know more about following Jesus, we'd love to answer those questions for you. But you respond how the Lord is leading you to respond this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you're patient with us, that you're gentle with us. God, that you hear the cries of the faithful, that you hear us and you see us. God, that you work for the good of those who love you. You meet the needs of those who pursue your kingdom. That you've invited us to be a part of your kingdom plan. That you've given each one of us a mission, a gifting, abilities, not to use for our own glory, but to use for your glory and your kingdom. God, I get excited thinking about a church that is using every gifting in that body for the glory of your kingdom and what that looks like in the city that you've planted us. Working together in unity, all the gifts firing at once. Man. So Lord, I ask that you help us to take off any of those cloaks that are tripping us up, that are keeping us from running after you, that cause us to fall flat on our face every time we try. Whether it's sin, whether it's fear, whether it's pride, whether it's unbelief, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would help do the heart work in us. Give us the courage to throw it to the side and keep our eyes focused on you. Lord, I pray for those in the room that do not yet have a relationship with Jesus. Again, just, God, I pray they would know this morning how much you love them. You care for them, how much you desire to have a relationship with them. So God, we just surrender this time to you. We pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. You guys can be seated. Hopefully you've responded however the Lord led you to respond this morning. Know that invitation time is always open. But we're just going to end this morning with a couple announcements. You guys are free to go. Praise the Lord. I don't think we got to tear down for like 2 months or something. So that's amazing. Yeah, the setup team knows that that's a huge praise. All right. That's why only a handful of people clapped. that was a joke, guys. You guys can laugh at that. You can laugh in church. It's okay. So a couple of announcements. The next Three Chords Marriage Gathering is going to be on December 14th. That's kind of like the end of the year Christmas party. So maybe you haven't been to any of them all year. This would be a great time to come and check it out. As Jared said, that you know, just get to know people and say, hey, I could come hang out here when the new year starts and just really invest in my marriage and have an easy date night once a month. So check that out. Sign up sheets at the Next Steps table, I believe. Our next prayer night, again, is this Tuesday from 6 to 7 in this building. We're going to have worship, do communion together, and just really just spend time in prayer. It's as simple as that. There's nothing fancy about it. The 2025 men's retreat is coming up in February, so stay tuned for more information about that. Should be coming out next week or so, cost and dates and all that. And then December 21st, the East Milton Christmas Festival that we're helping to host. Again, sign-up sheets are in the back. If you're like, man, I don't think I'm good at anything, just go put your name on that sheet back there and put in parentheses, I'm not good at anything, and we will find you a place, all right? I promise you. I know like Tim's going to need help putting railings on his trailer so we can have a safe hayride trailer. We're going to need help moving stuff. We're going to need help baking cookies and doing all those things. But if you're like, I'm not gifted, just put I'm not gifted, and I'm great at finding a place for non-gifted people. That is my spiritual gifting to place you and plug you in like little Legos. So you just put that down, all right? Even if you sign up on like the tech page, I know we only need about 2 people doing tech, maybe 3. So if I see 20 people on there, I'm going to know these are a bunch of people that don't have anything else to do, and we're going to place them somewhere. So we love you guys. If you're a guest and I haven't got a chance to meet you, I'd love that opportunity this morning. But you guys are dismissed, and we will see y'all next week. Thank you.